WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
You had to know, since it was in Bret Hart country, that Bret Hart would be on Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, it is also September, which means subs are 25% off. By just clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use credit card Rocket Soccer Lindsay and order the Fortnite item shop. Chris, hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
It was a celebration of hearts.
It was.
Only Bret hearts.
Well, and Natty. Natty was there too.
Natty was there too, but yeah, it was Bret Hart, it was Natty, it was in Calgary, which they actually had some really pretty shots of Calgary. Like, they had some really nice shots of, like, the exterior and around the city. It was really, like, they did a good job on that. Like, good for them. I don't know if that was stock or they, like, actually had that taken or, like, where they got that, but those are some really beautiful shots of, like, the stadium and the downtown area, because I don't think I've ever seen Calgary like that before. I don't think I've necessarily ever seen Calgary before. You kind of only do like the one shot at night and you don't really get to see the city. This, you got to see like the city and the mountains and everything. It's really pretty.
So as mentioned, Natalya was on the show. She was a surprise mystery partner for Lyra Valkyrie and Zelina Vega as they took on the Pure Fusion Collective, Sonya Deville, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. Natty and crew got the win. One thing I like, or a couple things I like. One, they got new music for the Pure Fusion Collective. So they're a group now. They're not just using Sony's music. That's good. Two, they got a theme to their outfits. They're black and white, so they had matching outfits. All that was good, even in defeat. They looked the part. They're looking like a group now, so that was good, even in defeat.
I like the look. I like the music. I like everything. It's very cohesive. They all looked great. Can we talk about that dive from Zoe to Zelina on the outside? Like, right before they went to the commercial break? Because, oh, shit, that looked like that hurt.
It did.
Like, she just, like, flattened. Zoe just flattened Zelina. And Zelina's just laying there face down and is like, oh, honey, are you okay? Like, are you good? Worried about you.
Yeah.
Because it looked like Zoe just landed on her. Like, Zelina caught her, but it looked like Zelina took, like, the full force of that hit.
Yeah.
It looked nasty.
It did.
But the match was good. The match was fun. It was good to see Natty back. You know, she was a surprise, but, you know, Calgary was into her. They were there for her. She looked great. She had her Stampede gear on.
Yeah, she looked everything. Everything looked the part. It was good. So that's what matters. The women's tag team titles were on the line. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill successfully retained against Alba Fyler and Isla Dawn. It was a good match, solid match. Wish it was a little bit longer, but Bianca and Jade looked strong with the retaining of their titles.
I like this. I thought it was good. There was a lot of aggression in the match, which is good. Like, they get nasty with each other in the fighting sense. But yeah, everybody looked really great in this match. Jade's entrance on TV, comes across very, very, very well. It's a very visually attractive entrance. So good for them for on that. Which I think it's a riff on her AEW entrance, but they made it just a little different.
Yeah.
But it still looks great.
It did. But let's talk about Bret Hart. Bret Hart was introduced through the capacity of the crowd in Calgary, Alberta, Canada by Joe Tessitore and Wade Barrett. Bret, who was sick coming into this, there was talks that he may not even make the show as the day went on, even though he was promoted. He apparently was sick, and you kind of saw on his face as he was walking backstage, like, ooh, you could tell he's had a rough day. But he made it through. He was all right. He talked about being a champion and also being a great fighting Canadian champion. He would take on anyone, anywhere to prove themselves. And he did it for over 20 years to be the best there is, the best there was, and the best there will be. Out came the world's heavyweight champion, Gunther, called Bret a legend. And he was about to pour his heart out to his childhood hero. But this also felt like a passing torch moment. Because Bret was the best there was, but Gunther is the best there is, and the best there ever will be. And then Gunther had the best line of the night when talking about his favorite pro wrestler of all time.
Always be a close second to my actual favorite. And my all-time favorite is none other than Bill Goldberg.
What a fucking troll.
I'm so proud of him for that. Like, I'm so ungodly proud of him for that. Like, holy shit. That was great. That was so good.
It was. It really, really was.
And the visceral, and I mean visceral reaction of the crowd was just incredible.
Because
like,
you knew,
so incredible.
It was. Because you knew what the typical name was going to be. Sean. Like, I was waiting for Sean to be said because it's Calgary and it's a screw job. They mentioned Survivor Series to set it up. And then when he said Bill Goldberg, it was genius. Such a troll.
Such a good one.
Such a damn troll. So then Sami Zayn came out wearing
Calgary's honor.
Wearing a Johnny Gaudreau jersey, and they had paid tribute to him and his brother earlier in the show. Or later in the show, at some point during the show. It was later in the show, before the six-woman tag. He took issue with Gunther making fun of Bret and Calgary, because he's a hero in the city, a generation of wrestlers, and a hero to him personally. Zayn said if Gunther thinks he's his best, then he should prove it by giving a shot at the World Heavyweight title. Gunther told Bret with all due respect that he's not in his league. Gunther said Sami isn't in Bret's league, therefore the answer remains no. Bret was like, Gunther, you don't look like a champion. You look like a gutless yellow coward. Sami and Gunther brawled before being pulled apart. This was perfect.
I love this. I loved everything about this. Like,
it was a good use of Bret, good use of Sami and Gunther. Everything worked well.
It was an appropriate use of Bret. Like, if you're going to bring in a veteran like that, and you're going to bring in like a legacy talent like that, which is what Bret is, this is how you use them. And they didn't do it in the typical way. They actually had like the interview segment and everything like that, but they were doing it just a little bit differently, where it's like Bret didn't have to take any attacks and just like, but you used it in a way where Sami was able to really show his anger and his frustration. Yeah. It's not, well, I'm just coming out to defend Bret Hart. It's like, no, you're just being a dick. I'm just going to beat you up now. And that was really good to see, because it just threw some fuel on the fire for Sami and Gunther, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a really great way to do all that and kind of set all this up. Because it's not... Because the good thing about this feud will be, it's not just about what Gunther said to Bret. It's that plus all the other issues that they've had in the past.
Yeah. So we're building up to everything like that. Speaking of building two things, we continue the build to CM Punk McIntyre 3. McIntyre came out, encouraged people to chant Punk's name because no longer bothers him, because it's simply... in memory of when they chant Punk's name. He talked about Punk boosting they beat him in a strap match, though he thought he would get a world title match. He said, you've screwed me out titles 3 times so far this year. And added that I beat you at SummerSlam, but all you did was touch 4 corners. That doesn't mean we're finished. He said he made Punk a bigger star, but he can live with it because he's the one who ended Punk's career. Then he talked about his new movie, The Killer's Game. And he had some bad news for Wade Barrett. talked about their history, half of their friends and everything like that. You're the logical voice who fought the case with Michael Cole to everyone about Punk. McIntyre, though, questioned Wade Barrett why he stood his way when he wanted to end CM Punk. McIntyre said, well, he wasn't angry with Barrett, just disappointed. But if you do it again, I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to do something to Barrett. Barrett stood up. Adam Pearce came out, talked that they lost the plot in life so badly that he wants to fight his friend. Told him to get in the ring because he had some news he would want to hear. McIntyre called Pearce a suit, corporate suit. Pearce said he spoke with CM Punk and told him CM Punk is not done with Drew McIntyre. McIntyre said he didn't believe Adam Pearce. He asked the crowd if they want to see him fight Punk again. They responded in kind. Pearce said it has to end. And at Bad Blood, it will be Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk one more time inside Hell in a Cell.
I really liked Drew getting in Drew getting in Barrett's face. Like, I really liked how they did that.
Yeah, it was good.
Just because there's that moment where it's like, well, they could go there because as far as I know, Barrett isn't retired for medical reasons. He just doesn't wrestle in WWE. So hypothetically, you could do a Barrett versus McIntyre feud at some point.
You could.
If you wanted to have them get physical, you could, because there's a lot of history there.
Yes.
And I mean a lot of history going all the way back from when they were young men cutting their teeth in the wrestling industry. So you could do that if you needed to. But right now they're not going to go there with it, but the stare down between them was really good. And you just kind of have this moment where you're like, I mean, they're not gonna, but they could, and I'd be okay with that. Like, I would be completely fine with that. But yeah, I enjoyed this because it was a great way to just set up Hell in a Cell. I also really liked Drew's gear. Like his kilt was really nice. The whole outfit was, but like the detail work on the kilt was really cool. This is the natural conclusion to all of this. We all knew it was going to Hell in a Cell. They just had to set it up, which is fine. Like, I have no issue with this whatsoever. It's like, let's take them to Hell in a Cell, let them fight, let them conclude it. That'll be it. That'll be done. And yeah, I'm actually interested to see how these two would do Hell in a Cell, because the strap match didn't go the way that anybody thought it would. So let's see what they do in Hell in a Cell to make it their own, I guess.
Indeed. So a little story that I noticed, we had Karrion Kross talk with The Miz and talking about trying to get him out of his rut. Xavier Woods showed up and asked what all that was about. Kross said, they're just having a conversation and wish Woods lucky with the Kofi situation. So that was clearly the end of that story right there. We're kind of just moving on from what was happening. Woods was in a cosplay for Bret Hart. Miz told Woods that he vetted the game that Kross was trying to play. Miz conceded that he was, though, in a rut. Kingston showed up and informed Xavier Woods that they got a shot at tag team titles. He did a little bit more Bret Hart stuff and talked about their 10th anniversary as the New Day, as the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. So it'll be New Day versus the Judgment Day next week on Monday Night Raw.
You had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Just, there was no good way to get out of that. Like, there was just, with all the stuff that happened with Odyssey Jones and nobody really knowing what was up, you sort of just, especially with the feud that was just floundering because it was, you just, at some point, you gotta, like, turn out of the skid. You either turn into it or you turn out of it, and they tried to turn into it, and it just didn't work. So before it got too horrifically bad, they just, like, turned out of it, and that's precisely what happened tonight. Is it's like, you know what? This isn't working right now. Nobody's really feeling it. We had to get rid of Odyssey. Let's just, you know, just let's just do this instead.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just move everybody on. We're not going to acknowledge anything. We're just going to move everybody on. And we're just going to go ahead. And it's fine. And Judgment Day, you take on New Day. And we're just going to put Xavier and Kofi back together for right now because that's what makes the most sense. And we're going to have Miz go do his thing. And we're going to have Karrion Kross just be Karrion Kross, I guess, at this point.
It was fine. It was a little we're just moving things along. Speaking of moving along, it was time for the mixed tag 8-person street fight. American Maids taking on the Wyatt Six. Hell of a match.
Oh, this was fantastic. This opened the show. Crowd was into it. This was a lot more competitive than I thought it would have been. You saw the Wyatt Six actually struggle quite a bit, but you had everybody except for Bo get involved. Like Nikki went after Ivy. You had the boys take on the boys in this. I think Chad Gable got beat up a little bit in this.
Nikki's German to Chad.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was a thing of beauty. That was just so pretty. Like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I should point out that the chair that they had tonight, I think, was one of the actual chairs that Bray used. If not, it was very, very similar to it. But I think it's one of the original chairs. Because the chair that they had when the White Six initially made their debut was not. But this was more reminiscent of what Bray had. Yes, I noticed those things. I'm sorry. It's who I am as a person. But yeah, this was just... I don't know where this feud goes from here. You had the White Six triumphant.
I think that's the end. You got to end it. That had to be the finale.
Yeah, like you had the White Six triumphant. You move American Made on from here because obviously they've been very, very careful about how they've done this. Where it's like you want to keep American Made very strong because you're going to move them on from the feud with the White Six. And you're going to have them be dominant in the tag division and potentially the women's division. And then you're going to move the White Six on and the White Six are going to do whatever the White Six are going to do. And they're going to go after whoever they go after, which it could be Cross's group. We don't know.
I don't know if you do that. That's just anything with Karrion Kross right now. It's just feels like death.
You just don't touch it. I don't see where the feud goes from here. I don't see them carrying it on much beyond that. I think it's run its course. And you just move the White Six on from that because you've gotten them established. Everybody's into the gimmick. Everybody's feeling the gimmick. You kept both groups very strong, so nobody got hurt in this. Coming out of it, like, American Made has taken the losses to the White Six, but they've looked good coming out of them, which is what you want.
Yeah, they need to focus.
So they can just keep going.
They need to refocus and sort of find a new target, get them in the tag division and sort of just move on, and then you figure out something else for the White Six to do. But this was a good 3 months of long-term storytelling. I think you got a lot out of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, this has got
to
be it.
Yeah. Finn Balor came to the ring, told Damian Priest didn't have to be this way. Balor accused Priest of screwing him whenever he comes close to winning the World Championship. He called out Damian Priest because he wanted to say something to his face. Priest said his piece been trying to get his hands on Balor ever since the group broke up. The original group broke up. Priest said he would hear what Balor had to say, and he would then drop his ass. Balor said he doesn't listen to Priest's orders anymore. He said Priest treated him like a sidekick, and he's no sidekick. Balor said he wanted to face Priest in a singles match at Bad Blood. Priest accepted, and then indicated it was time to get physical. He asked if he remembered the Judgment Day playbook. Priest said, "I wrote it," which brought out JD and Carlito. Dama came out. They took the advantage. Rhea came out. Liv ran out. Rhea got her leg taken out from underneath her with the crutch. Then Jey Uso ran out, made the save. So good things there.
The feud continues on. This was good. Like, this is really good. You're building the heat between Damian and Finn, which it had been kind of focused on Liv, Dom, and Rhea. Now you're turning it back in the direction of Finn. And Damian, which is what you want.
Yeah,
because like you had Finn come out and cut that promo, like, oh, when you're not looking or when you're not least, or when you least expect it, I'm going to show up. And then he kind of hasn't followed through on that. It's kind of been my one issue with that. But otherwise, it's all been very good. I think, did Finn get new graphics?
Probably.
I felt like the Judgment Day maybe got new graphics or got a new entrance, or maybe just Finn did or something. But they're now in the process, because you've established Damien and Rhea, which is what you needed to do. Now they're establishing Finn as the leader. They're reestablishing Judgment Day as a force to be reckoned with, which again is what you need to do. You need to keep Judgment Day strong. They took the loss at the pay-per-view, so now you kind of have to make up for that and have them start to, you know, be a little smarter, be a little bit more crafty, be more, like, versatile in terms of what they're doing, which is what they were before. That's kind of what WWE had built the group into, was just this force that could be dealt with and reckoned with, and now they're not. So you have to sort of, like, reestablish that a little bit, especially with Finn as the leader, where he's leading this group. Because Damien kind of took over for him, right? Like, Finn was the leader, and then Damien rolled in, and he's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. And took over. And Rhea was right there with him, so now you have to put Finn back in that position. Although, we'll see if somebody takes over from Finn again. Because they could, if he lets them. But maybe he won't. But I thought, I liked this. I thought it was good.
Continue.
Like, it was a good... Go ahead.
It continued on when the LWO confronted the judge, got confronted by the Judgment Day backstage. There's some trash talk back and forth, but it set up Ray challenging Finn to a match on the show. Before we get to Finn and Ray, we had Dom and Dragon Lee, which was a pretty solid match between the two men. Dominic would end up getting the win. You had Liv interference, which we all knew was going to happen. JD interfered. Like, it, we, you know, it all was expected. But Dom got the win. He needed a win.
He did need a win. Yeah. You have to, like I said, this is all about reestablishing the Judgment Day. And as much as we all love the LWO, this was a good way to do it.
Ray then took on Finn Balor. Ray got the win by disqualification when Balor just wouldn't let up the hold, the half crab through the ropes. And then he dropped Ray into the ring post and then dropped him onto the LED board ring apron. So Finn didn't get the win, but that's what he wasn't looking for. He got the advantage of Rey Mysterio and beat his ass a little bit.
I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that.
So it was a good conclusion to everything that happened to wrap up the stories with the Judgment Day and the LWO throughout the night. So it was a nice long-term story throughout the night. Another story throughout the night, Bron Breakker would walk up to all four different opponents that would be vying for a shot at his Intercontinental Championship. I like that. I like that he went up, trash-talked each of them. You know, they shot back. There was one point where Sheamus had got involved, where he got up in Peter Dune's face and got the shillelagh, had to be pulled apart. But I like Bron going up against everyone and just sort of eyeing them up and you know, talking them down a little bit. But no one looked weak in the confrontations either. I liked all the whole process for it.
It was really good. It was really well done.
And then there was the four-way for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. Jey Uso, Peter Dune, Ilya Dragunov, and Braun Strowman. We saw the return of Big Bronson Reed as he took out Braun Strowman, putting him through the table with the tsunami. But it allowed Jey Uso, though, to pick up the win with the Uso splash. Jey Uso, Bron Breakker had a confrontation to end Monday Night Raw. So there you go. Jey and Bron Breakker, that should be good.
This involved all the Brons. They got Braun Strowman, Bron Breakker, Bronson, Reed. You know, just this was Brontastic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was kind of sort of a nail biter to see who they were going to give this to, because it's like, well, realistically, give it to Ilya, it would be good. You could give it to Jey, it would be good. You could give it to Pete Dunne, and it would be good. Like, and no offense to Braun Strowman, it would be decent, but it wouldn't be like the other three. And so it's like, you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't know who I want to win. And I'm kind of okay if any of those three win. Like, I will take all of that, you know, and yeah, be completely fine and not complain about it at all. Like, that'll be fun to watch.
It would. I would say Peter Dune has lost a couple of big matches on NXT in championship opportunities. I don't think he would have been the strongest opponent based logically. And as you mentioned, Braun Strowman wouldn't have been a thing. And Ilya and Braun have mixed up there really good. But I think doing a fresh match of Jey and Bron Breakker, I think that's pretty good. I think that's a good idea.
It will be a good mix.
It will be. So that was Raw.
I like the show. It moved. It was fun. What was nice was you had like Brett featured on the show, but he didn't take over the show. He did his thing and then he was out. Which I liked, because normally it's like you have the vet walking around and sometimes it's like really good and sometimes it's just like overkill. This was just the perfect amount and it was exactly what you needed. So yeah, kudos to everybody involved in that.
He did the thing in the ring and then got the hug Natty backstage. You know, heart stuff.
That was it.
Anyway, this has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. 50-50, we're live next Monday. If we aren't live next Monday, a week from Thursday on the Rack, we'll review Raw. It's kind of the working idea. We'll see how football goes next week. But speaking of Raw, this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, we're going to talk about the big change coming to Monday Night Raw for the next 3 months. Talk about that Thursday night on the Rack.
And just to throw this out there, because I've seen the tweets already, the thing is not because a specific item is unwatchable. It's a temporary deal. And they likely already had something lined up for that hour. And this is what they worked out. Thank you. We'll get into it on Thursday. But yeah, it's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
They have to build for their future. We'll talk about more Thursday. Friday night, GM Battles, 10-ish p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, Game Night, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by Seabird Live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday is WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio. Check out Seabird and Knots Alive Live's recap of AEW All Out. Available now. Just search for it on the podcast. But anyway, we might be back next Monday night, but we're usually here Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Chat if you have the Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock or
Min's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LANSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lins Ward, where tomorrow we will actually be streaming Honkai Star Rail because they drop the update today. It's live right now. So tomorrow we'll be going in, we'll be looking at everything, we'll be checking out the new characters, all that fun stuff. So twitch.tv/Lins Ward. You can also follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard, and you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0.
It's been the Raw Post, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG12. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, and then possibly next Monday night, but most Monday nights, for the Raw Post Show. For now, 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.